You are listening to the Family Business Podcast, the podcast aimed at delivering insights to help your family business thrive. I'm your host, Russ Hayworth, and each week I'll be bringing you interviews from family businesses and their advisors from all over the world. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hi, well, today it's me and Emma in the seat, and we are going to be talking about the why. So why do businesses exist? What are their, what is their purpose? And it stems from a TED talk that was actually done about 10 years ago, I think, by a chap called Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. He did a TED talk on Start With Why. So if you just stick that into YouTube or Google, it should come up. It's worth a watch. And basically, the premise of his talk is, in order to truly understand what it is that we're doing, we need to understand why we're doing it. And he uses the example of companies such as Apple and Harley Davidson, who build enormous amount of customer loyalty through why they exist, not just what they do. So the example of Harley Davidson is that people who have never ridden a motorbike who have Harley Davidson tattoos and memorabilia because they believe in what the brand stands for. I'm not sure there's too many people with Apple tattoos, but a lot of people buy Apple purely because of how the brand or why the brand exists rather than the usefulness of their products. So during this startup phase, it's worth understanding as a business why it is you want to go into business and what impact that has on the family. And being able to articulate that, we feel, is a really important starting point. So Emma, perhaps you can give us a bit more of a feel from your perspective of your views on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first point to start with is who knew that we would be talking about Apple tattoos this morning? So you know, that's something to explore later on. But what's really interesting to me is why families want to be in business together, given that it can be so complex and so heart-wrenching and so challenging. Mm. What is it that makes families want to be in business together? And actually, the answer to that question isn't going to be the same for every family or even every person within that family. So the importance of understanding why you want to be in business together is absolutely crucial, absolutely fundamental to the success of the business. And those businesses and those families that understand why they are in business together are the ones that go on to be successful and manage to navigate both the sort of tricky business waters and the family challenges as they bubble up over the years.
Yeah, and it kind of forms a bedrock, doesn't it, for everything else going
forward? Absolutely, absolutely. It's the, you know, we will go on to talk about the detail of governance and what family business governance might look like. But fundamentally, the starting point has to be, why do we want to be in business together? Alongside, why this business?
Yeah.
But ultimately, if you're looking at how establishing something that's going to last for generations, the important point really is, why be in business together at all? And if you can really nail that, then you're sort of setting a really strong foundation, I think.
And if you consider the circumstances under which people are starting their own business, it's not an easy process. It's not something that everybody can just, I'm going to set up a business and do what I do. There needs to be a mindset and a motivation, because there are plenty of jobs out there for people to get. There's not a burning desire or need for everybody to set up their own business. So that mindset needs to come into consideration as well when you're considering why it is you're going into business in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because a lot, you know, I can't remember off the top of my head what the statistics are, but most startups fail. That's the harsh reality. So
yes,
what is it that's going to give you the advantage? Well, actually, it's understanding why you're getting out of bed in the first place to do this. Mm-hmm. And if you've had that, you know, if you have that passion, or there is, you're starting you're starting up, you're starting from scratch, you know what you want to do, you know why you want to do it, so almost the business why. I think what quickly follows is the family why.
Mm.
And if you're attracting a son or a daughter into the business, or somebody, perhaps somebody that's got a flourishing career in London, and you can see that they're going to really add value to your business, you need to be having very frank conversations between you early on about why you want to be in business together.
Mm.
Because we're sat here in the Southwest. I can think of numerous examples where interesting entrepreneurial Southwest family businesses have managed to attract family members who have really high-flying jobs in London to come to the Southwest. What's making them want to do that? Mm. Why are they doing that? Why are they giving up the huge salary, the status, the career path to come and join perhaps what might be a quite an uncertain proposition?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't ask the question, you don't know what the answer is. You can guess and assume, but you can't know for sure. And the danger there is that you get into a situation where the various parties have different expectations.
Mm.
So they might, the person that's up sticks and left from London might actually be doing it for thinking that they're going to have a certain stake in the equity, have a certain say in how the business is run, have a better quality, build a stronger family foundation and family relationships. Whereas the person they're joining might have totally different ideas.
Mm. And at what point do you think these conversations should happen? So if we're looking at, say, a startup's phase of the business, or just as the business is starting to expand and you're looking to grow headcount in the right areas, at what point should these conversations be happening?
I think they should be happening, and I think we'll say this time and again, as soon as possible, so that there's no point which is too early to have this conversation. Mm. And ideally it's happening right up front.
Yeah, and that area of managing expectations I think is really important, because we've seen it time again with succession planning in particular, where owner and founder are looking to move away from the business perhaps, and the anticipation of the next generation coming through is that they will automatically have full ownership and full control over the business, and have perhaps worked in that business for a number of years with that expectation. And then when it comes to actually doing it, the parents' ideas and the children's ideas are not necessarily the same, and that can cause conflict and resentment and various other snags along the way.
I totally agree with you, really. It's all about future-proofing, and the there are numerous examples. I can think of one where I've been sat in front of a chap who was probably in his early 50s, been working alongside his dad for 10 to 20 years, with an expectation that transition of power was on control was going to take place.
Mm.
And he's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and they've never had the conversation. And the longer it goes on, the harder it is. And you can't help but think that actually if they'd had those conversations up front, it wouldn't have been a panacea for all, because people say things and then don't do them. But at least at least the cards would have been on the table.
Yeah.
And similarly, when you're working with your husband and wife teams, I've been in situations where wives are looking for independent advice. There's nothing wrong with the marriage. There's nothing wrong with the business. But actually, the expectations of the husband is that not in every case, I'm not saying that, but in some cases, is that the wife is sort of ancillary to the main business, and actually her shares are really his shares.
Yeah.
And actually, the wife's perspective on it is entirely different.
Mm.
And, their perspective is that they are performing an extremely valuable role. Yes, they might not have always been working full-time in the business, but actually at this point in time, their contribution is extremely valuable, and they own those shares, and they're going to exercise their rights
And why not?
And absolutely, why not? But again, that's an expectation. It's an expectation thing, and it's a why. Why are we in business together? What is it that I'm hoping to get out of this? What is it that you're hoping to get out of it?
Mm. And we've seen in our experience, again, another, I guess it's a horror story, but a similar scenario to the one you've just described, is a chap who in his 90s had, in the provisions of his will, not left anything to his daughter, despite them basically working in the business, brother and sister together. He'd left everything to the brother and not told either of them. And he was in his 90s, so you'd guess that their children probably 60s or 70s. So they're going to then potentially have children, and the issues that that's going to leave behind. And he got to the point where it's just, it's not my problem, I'm not going to be here. But the mess that he's left behind when he does pop off is considerable. And all down to a lack of communication and a lack of articulating why they're in business together and what their expectations would be. And I would not want to be a fly on the wall, actually, in that room when that's read out, because that can be, that'd be a fairly painful meeting, I would imagine.
Mm, absolutely. I think the why question also can really help as a sort of guiding principle. So actually, when families are facing navigating the succession challenges, whatever other challenges are thrown at them along the way, they have a really clear idea about why they're in business together.
Yep.
And you know, often that why is around legacy and stewardship and wanting to build and create something that can, you know, continue for generations to come. Then that helps to clear the foggy thinking a bit in terms of the here and now.
Absolutely.
And you know, as painful as it might be that they could be experiencing all sorts of, you know, very real and very painful things in the current generation, so you know, sibling tensions, power, whatever it is, actually if they can have in their very clearly in their minds what that overall why is. Why are we in business together and why are we doing? And is this actually going to matter in 10 years, 50 years, 100 years? That is what will help pull them through.
Yeah.
And we've seen instances where families have been in real pain, you know, really struggling, successful businesses, but actually struggling in terms of the family dynamics. But having that really clear picture of why is in my view, what's enabled them to pull through and you know, continue on and find a way through it, painful as that might maybe, unsatisfactory, you know, slightly haphazard, not perfect at times, but actually they're able to do it because they can see that bigger picture of why. So that's why I think, going back to why, everything's about why today, but that's why it can't hurt to be too clear about that too soon.
Absolutely. And as the business matures and expands, that having that framework and that why as your, I guess, as your North Star allows not just during times of, say, family, I don't want to use the word turmoil, but family turmoil, but in the general business environment, times will get tough and there'll be peaks and troughs. And at the low points, if you have something that you can refer back to that says, look, this is why we're doing this, it's really reassuring at those times to think, actually, we're doing this for the right reasons. Let's ride this out and keep our nose to the grindstone. And we'll get through this, and that can make the business stronger as a result. If you don't articulate that why and don't document it, perhaps it becomes really difficult to have those conversations when times are tough, because times are tough.
Absolutely. And I think that building on from that, having the why conversation, knowing that early on, is going to help. Trying to figure that out when you're in the fog of something else, something bigger, something, you know, perhaps a bit muckier, you know, it's possible, but it's more challenging.
And people might have different whys at outset, and if they haven't discussed that and they get a few years down the line, times get tough, and one person's why is I want this legacy, I want this kind of status, and I have the belief in this business that it's a long-term thing, and the other stakeholder, husband or wife, turned around and said, well, I just wanted to make a quick buck, then it's inviting conflict into that environment. Whereas if they'd had that conversation at outset and managed those expectations, you would tend to avoid that further along the line.
Absolutely. And I think we'll keep referring to gentlemen whose names begin, or surnames begin with S, but Senge springs to mind, and his, you know, shared vision and personal vision, and what you need to be able to have check is that the overall vision for the family, the shared vision, that the personal and individual visions or whys or whatever it is are going broadly in the same direction. And that's also really important for moving forward. And in terms of individual motivations and understanding why you want to be part of the family business, or why another wants to join the family business, that I think, again, those conversations can really help to understand what's motivating people, and are they motivated by the sorts of things which will enable the family business to flourish going forward, so that if you have two potential future leaders, who's the right one? Is it the one who feels the stewardship and that responsibility for the future generations to their core, or is it the person who, you know, when it comes down to it, is really only interested in the CEO title and the status that brings? And so, you know, there really are no downsides, I think, to exploring this and understanding at some level what's motivating the individual and whether that fits in with the bigger picture.
I agree, and there may be people who are listening to this now. Hopefully there are some people who are listening to this now who may be in a position where they're in an established business and they perhaps haven't articulated their why, or feel that they haven't articulated their why. They might have an understanding of why they're in business together, but haven't really sat down, talked it through and documented it. And I guess the lesson there is not to beat yourself up over that, but to do it and see it as a positive thing, as a reassurance to why you're in business together, and not think, well, I haven't done it so far, it's been okay, so we can just carry on without it. Because at some point along the line, I use the example of somebody from outside the family coming into the business at some point in the future. And often we see with people outside the family that they're not as successful within the family business as they would perhaps hope, and often the excuse is from the family business owner, they didn't get it, and that's potentially down to the fact that the why hasn't been articulated particularly well, and they've come from a corporate environment rather than a family environment, and so they've come in to do a job, and that may not sit necessarily alongside the views of the family from that perspective. Is that something you've come across as well?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think I would probably look at that from the positive angle, that often the family business why is a much more powerful proposition than that which is put forward by non-family businesses. Obviously there are cases where that doesn't prove to be, you know, back to Apple. But actually, if the family business why is about longevity and the community and building something for the future, and it's about much, much more than the bottom line, then that message is going to be very hugely powerful out in what is a very competitive, you know, environment for attracting talent and retaining talent as well. So the benefits of doing this go far beyond, you know, the family walls.
Yeah,
it will permeate much further into the business. And actually, ironically have a huge impact, positive one, on the bottom line.
Yeah, agreed.
But because it comes down to things being done for the right reason.
Really. Mm.
So yeah, it's an opportunity for family businesses to steal a march, I think, as much as anything.
Mm.
As much as anything else.
Yeah, we mentioned at the outset that it comes down to, or it has an impact, shall we say, on the governance of family business. That governance might not be a word that everybody has come across. So if you could explain what you see as governance and how understanding your why can permeate across that, I think that'd be really good.
So governance at its... I don't think there's any really agreed upon definition of governance, but it's really about getting the right people talking about the right things at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to constructive communication, really. That's it at its simplest. And it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that in the early days. Because family enterprises can become quite complex in terms of the multi-generational aspects and the time aspects and all the rest of it, that governance structure will become more complex as the business progresses.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is to see, to always take it back to the fundamentals of, are we communicating properly, and are the right people getting together at the right time to talk about the right things? And are those people that need to express a view able to do so in a constructive way when they, you know, sufficiently regularly, really?
Mm.
I'm sure we will talk about this in a lot of detail later on in yes. terms of what that governance structure might look like. But ultimately, you need to understand why you're in business together in order to feed that governance model.
Mm.
So you would start perhaps with something like it doesn't need to be written down, but just to put a bit of flesh on the bones, you would start with something like a values statement. What are our values? What are our core values? What's guiding the ship? What's the North Star, as you very nicely put it earlier? And then you would move on from that to talk about, well, you know, what's our vision? What are we trying to achieve?
Mm.
Then you would move on to put other organisations and documents in place that would provide more detailed guiding rules and principles around how the various parties communicate yeah. and operate on a daily basis.
And I guess, again, with that labouring the point in terms of the expectations conversation, but when it comes down to family values, articulating what each of those means to the individual, without necessarily going and spending 3 days discussing a single word, but to understand what is meant by honesty and integrity, for example, they seem to come up quite regularly in values that we see, not just across the family spectrum, but also within non-family entities. Honesty seems to be the kind of go-to value because everybody expects that. But understanding within the family what your expectations are of honesty, integrity, whatever the values might be that are driving the business forward, also then helps to avoid conflict further down the line because you're on the same page from day one rather than having a misconception at outset as to what one word may mean to one and what it may mean to another. So having those discussions early on really helped to avoid those potential future conflicts.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Good, so hopefully we have covered off today some of the points around the importance of understanding why we are or why you're in business together. We'll end today's show on our one tip, if you like, for people listening. And I'll pass over to Emma for her one tip, if you like, one piece of advice to the audience listening as to what action they should take having listened to today's show.
So I think if you haven't got a crystal clear picture of why you're in business with your family members, I would spend some time thinking about why that is. Mm-hmm. And I would urge you to instigate the conversation with those family members so that you can start the conversation about why you're in family, why you're in business together, and take it from there, really.
Excellent. Great. Well, hope you enjoyed that, and we will see you on the next show. That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to leave us a review, please feel free to do so on iTunes. If you want to get in touch, you can find out more information at www.fambizpodcast.com. We'll see you again soon.